Welcome to A Deeper Look in the Book. This program is brought to you by Bible Way Community Baptist Church in beautiful Irving, Texas, where our pastor is none other than Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert, Sr. This week, Pastor Wilbert will bring in a series of studies out of 1 Samuel. So get close to your radio and listen now as we take a deeper look in the book.
And for you, I'm backslid. Hello, somebody. All right. And so but David now is at the point of giving up. You know when you done gave up. How do you know when you done gave up? Huh? How do you know when you done gave up? You go back. See, that was a hidden answer. I already gave you the answer beforehand. I just changed the question around. Yeah, you just, that's how you know you done gave up. A lot of times when I, when somebody quit coming to church and I go out to try to witness to them, most of the time I try to tell them you done gave up. They say, I ain't gave up, but I ain't gave up, Pastor. But you back to doing what you used to do. You have gave up. When you lose your faith, you go back to something basically where you have come from. You go back. And that's what David did. And because, see, you're not thinking when you don't have faith. You're not really thinking. You'll go right to the enemy camp looking for help. Now, David going right to the enemy camp, taking his whole army and everything. Can y'all help me? Now, it was easy, David, to help one person. But now you got 600 folks and they chillings. They families, taking all their families, everybody, the soldiers' families, everything. Don't make sense, do it. That's how it is when you scared. That's how it is when you done lost your faith. And so we see in chapter 26, David, and notice now, this man, the king, decided to go ahead and give David a place to stay. He says, David, okay, I'm going to go ahead and let you have a place to stay. And I'm going to give you Ziklag. In verse number 6, he said, I'm going to give you Ziklag. And so David, Ziklag was to the south of the Philistine border. It was bordering of Israel, next to Israel. And David began to start raiding the Philistine camp, but he would kill everybody, have tell his army to kill everybody. And then when the king came back and said, David, where are you getting all this stuff from? David said, I'm getting it from Israel. And so the king said, I sure ain't got nothing to worry about now. He said, because David, he can't go back to Israel because he's an outlaw in Israel. He said, David, you can stay here as long as you want to. But he didn't know that David was plucking his people off one by one, village by village. So he was still fighting the Lord's battle. The king just didn't know it. All right. How do you know? Wait a minute. Look at verse 11. And David says, neither man nor woman alive to bring tithes to Gath, saying, lest they should tell of us, saying, so did David, so will be in like manner all while he was dwelling in the country of Philistine. And Achish, that's the king, believed David, saying he had made his people Israel utterly to abhor him. Therefore, he shall be my servant forever. And so this king said, David going to be my servant forever. Because now that he done turned and started fighting against Israel, Israel not going to want him back. So he's going to be my servant here forever. But he had to tell a lie. How do you know when you done backslid? Huh? I say, how do you know? You said, see, your answer was when you start lying. All right, let's move on. Let somebody criminalize themselves up in here. All right, chapter 28. Let's look at chapter 28 right quick. I just want to highlight in chapter 28, Saul goes to the witch of Endor. And he goes to the witch of Endor because God wouldn't speak to him. Look here in verse number 6, verse 5 and 6. And Saul saw the host of the Philistine, and he was afraid, and his heart greatly trembled. And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dream, nor by Urim, nor by prophet. And those were the three ways that God normally would speak back then. Saul, God didn't speak to him in the nighttime. Wouldn't speak to him at church, because the preacher, he used to have this vest, and it had these two rocks. And let's just say one rock was a red and the other rock was green. And when you came up there, and these was the urns, when you came up there, you said, should I move to the Philistines area? The priest would shake the two lit rocks up, and then let's say if the red rock came out first, then that was the no answer. You know, red means stop. Is that right? Now, I don't know what color the rocks was. I'm just using that as an illustration. Amen. Now, I don't want you going home and saying, now, see, the Bible says that it has a red light, yellow light, and green light in the Bible. The pastor said, so I'm just using this as an illustration now. Amen. What them rocks said that pastor talk about? It's got some rocks, red light, yellow light, green light. Amen. You know where that rock is at? The Holy Ghost on the inside of you. Matter of fact, a lot of time before you done even prayed, the answer is already there. Deep down in your heart. A lot of time you have to convince yourself to do the will of God. Because sometimes God already done told you that your first thought sometime is your answer. God already done said, no, I don't want you to go over there. You said, but I'm going to have to pray about it. Because that wasn't the answer you wanted to hear a lot of times. Tell the truth, somebody. And then you go and talk to one of your friends, and they tell you the same answer. Give you confirmation. But you say, see, they always, you know, they don't like me anyway. And you go find somebody that is just a yes person in your life. You know, it's a dangerous thing having yes men's and yes women's in your life. The folks that really, really love you are the folks that'll look you dead in the eye and say, I know you don't like what I'm about to say. You're not going to like it, but I need to tell you the truth. Hello, somebody. Amen. Now, so Saul here is in total darkness. God not going to even speak to him with a prophet, a priest, or a dream. And so he's in total darkness. But look over here in chapter, let me do a contrast right quick. In chapter 30, David has been fighting some of the Lord's battles. And the Bible says when he came back to Ziklag, David's town was burnt all up. Think about it. The Bible says here in verse number 2 that the women's was taken into captivity. And those great and small. So the children was taken, verse 6. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons, their daughters was taken captive. Then David and the people that was with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power. I call this the worst day in David's life. Yeah, this was a bad day. This was probably the baddest day in David's life. How many of you have ever been burnt out? How many of you have ever got a phone call that your house on fire? Or how many of you have just ever showed up and saw your house on fire? That's a bad situation, is to look up and see your house on fire. David, when he came home, the whole village done been burnt, and his wife and children are missing. everybody's wife, children, and it's bad enough to be burnt out, but to be robbed at the same time, that's pretty bad. And you don't even know where they at. You don't know if they dead or alive. That's just a bad situation, ain't it? I mean, both of David's wives has been taken into captivity. And the Bible says in verse number 4 that the men, they wept so until they couldn't cry no more. Now, that's a bad situation, ain't it? To see grown men crying, it's bad enough to see one grown man. See, if you saw one grown man in this church start crying, hello, somebody, you would say, man, you know, shh. Hello. You would, now, a lot of y'all, particularly ladies, when y'all see one person start crying, that's a domino effect. Everybody, oh, what you crying about? Brother Payne back there crying. He crying. Somebody ought to give him some tissue. Nobody even getting no tissue or nothing. Give me some tissue. Bring that tissue over here now, man. Oh, my goodness. Can't you imagine if every man in this church was crying? That would be a sight for sore eyes, wouldn't it? That really would be a sight for sore eyes if every man in this church was crying. And the Bible said they cried so until they didn't have no more power. But after they finished crying, look what they got ready to do. The Bible says, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him. David know once they had hushed a while and he saw the men's in a huddle, that was it. They was talking about stoning him. What you think? You think we ought to, because no captain in his mind should have left this city unguarded. Do you see why God hadn't made David king yet? He wasn't ready yet. See, he's still making different mistakes and stuff. Let me tell you something. Sometimes God can show you something that this is for you, but then you got to go to what I call wilderness training. Because you ain't ready yet to get what God has in store for you. No captain in his mind would have took every man out of the camp and went on a mission. Somebody need to stay at home and protect home. So David had to learn a good lesson a hard way. How many of you know that some of the best lessons are the hard lessons? Why is that? Because you never forget them. You never forget them. And so David here, you think David is going to ever forget something like this? No. As a matter of fact, you never see David making this same mistake like this again. All right. But notice, I want you to see something. Verse number 8. The Bible says, and David, let's look at 6 again. The Bible says, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his son and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. David encouraged himself in the Lord. Let me tell you something. All of you who are saints of God, there's going to come a bad day in your life. There's going to come a day where you're not going to be able to go to mama for advice, a daddy for advice, not even sister, brother. As a matter of fact, they may have already turned their back on you or something. And there's not going to be nobody that you can turn to. Your cell phone, you can't. Have you noticed sometimes when you're in a jam, you're trying to talk to somebody, and you get their number, you done dialed it, and soon as you get in touch with them, that voicemail come on. Or it go right to voicemail. And you say, oh, man, why did it have to go to voicemail this time? What's the use in having a cell phone and you can't talk with people when you want to talk to them? Hello, somebody. When a person got a cell phone, you're supposed to be able to reach them anytime, huh? That's not like a landline. You know, a landline, you know how it used to be if folks get in a car and they gone and say, oh, man, I got to wait till they get there to the job, or wait till they get there, and then I call the job or something, because it's a landline. But if they got a cell phone, hello, somebody, they need to just reach in their pocket and get the cell phone out the pocket. Hello, somebody, or turn the cell phone on. Amen. But you know it's something. A lot of times when I call somebody and I say, oh, man, let me get with Brother Brown right quick because he got to help me make this decision. And I'll call and go straight to voicemail. I say, okay, Lord, it's me and you. Yeah. You got to learn how to encourage yourself in the Lord. And that's what David did. David just encouraged himself. When mama ain't there, encourage. When dad ain't there, encourage. When you can't get in touch with sister, brother, encourage. When you can't get in touch with your prayer partner, encourage yourself in the Lord. Learn how to encourage yourself. Learn how to pick yourself up. And quit calling folks sometimes to spoil their day. That's why I think sometimes God won't let us get in touch with folks. Because what you finna do is spoil their day on their job. They're already going through something bad on their job. But you finna come and bag your little dump truck up. Beep, 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 beep. And then dump it on them. Encourage yourself. And a lot of times, quit calling gossiping partners. Folks are just going to spread the word of your bad situation. Because once the situation get rectified, you fall out with them. Because they put my business out. But you told them. Hello, somebody. David encouraged himself in the Lord. Verse 7 and 8. And David says to Abiathar, the priest, and Abimelech, son, I pray thee, bring hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after the troops? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. Look at that. David got an answer just like that. David asked two questions. He said, Lord, do I need to pursue? And if I do pursue, is I'm going to be able to overtake them? Is I'm going to win the battle? He said, David, go ahead and pursue. And not only are you going to win, you're going to recover everything. Everything that you lost, everything the devil done took, you're going to get it back. Everything. You're not going to lose not one thing, David. And David went on, stepped out in faith, and God puts an Ethiopian man there in the way, a man who had been injured. And that man directed David to the enemy camp, and David was able to recover all. Now, notice the contrast. Verse number 8, David just inquired of the Lord. God gave him some light, turned the light on for him, didn't he? But what about Saul? No light. Had to go to the witch and tried to get an answer from the witch. And he got an answer. Guess what the witch told him? Because he said, I want you to raise up Saul, Samuel. And Samuel came back up, and Samuel said, why you disturb me? He said, this time tomorrow, you're going to be down here with me. Now, that's bad news to know tomorrow you finna die. Do you see why the Bible say that we ought not be seeking those kinds of things? Because you ain't ready. Some things you ought not chase after. You don't know what's behind some of these doors. All right, so we see the contrast between light and darkness, how things are really getting dark for Saul. Now, what should Saul do? I mean, can you see when you don't have protection, when you don't get provision, when your God in light, you ain't got no more light? Shouldn't that tell you something? Shouldn't that tell you, I need to just get on my knees and pray, and maybe God will reverse this thing and give me another chance? But he still ain't got it. He still ain't got it. So we come now to chapter 31. We come to chapter 31. Chapter 31, the Bible says, now the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled from before the Philistine and fell down slain in Mount Gilboa. And the Philistine followed hard upon Saul and upon his sons. And the Philistine slew Jonathan and Abadar and Mahshula, Saul's son. And the battle went so against Saul, and the archer hit him, and he was so wounded of the archer. Then said Saul unto the armor bearer, draw thy sword and thrust me through therewith, lest these uncircumcised come and thrust me through and abuse me. But his armor bearer would not, for he was so afraid. Therefore Saul took a sword, and he fell upon it. All right, so he's trying at this point to commit suicide, isn't it? And the Bible says when the armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, or he thought he was dead, he fell likewise upon his sword and died with him. Now, you can read the rest of the story, how they came, and Saul didn't want them to abuse him, but they ended up abusing him. They cut off his head and hung his body to a wall. But look at chapter 1 of 2 Samuel right quick. Because there's a big debate of whether or not Saul was actually murdered or killed, or did he commit suicide? Because over in chapter 1, notice what the Bible says. The Bible says in verse number 3, and let's just pick up at verse 1. Now it came to pass after the death of Saul, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Amalekites, and David had abode 2 days in Ziklag, it came about that on the third day, that behold, a man came out of the camp from Saul with his clothes rent and earth upon his head. And so it was that when he came to David, he fell to the earth and did obeisance, or he bowed before him. And David said unto him, from whence cometh thou? And he said unto him, out of the camp of Israel I am escaped. And David said unto him, how went the matter? I pray thee, tell me. And he answered, that the people are fled from battle, and many of the people are fallen and dead. And Saul,
bread of life, sent down from the Lord.
If you would like a copy of the message that you have just heard in its entirety, please call the church office at 972-257-3766. That's 972-257-3766. Or visit the church website at BibleWayIrving.org. That's BibleWayIrving.org. And come by and worship with us this Sunday morning at 11 o'clock at Bible Way Community Baptist Church. And tune in tomorrow as we take a look in the book.